Catherine, was it or was it not a big year for news in 2019?
It was incredibly eventful. So many things happened looking back on the past year that it just the range of stories.
Yeah, crazy. Government shutdown right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm. Longest government shutdown in history, right?
Yeah, started on the 22nd of December and went all the way till the 25th of January, all over the border wall. About a quarter of the entire government was shut down, and the Coast Guard was not getting its paychecks. A lot of people were getting together and having food banks and trying to, you know, hold body and soul together during the shutdown. But luckily, it ended on the 25th.
Very shortly after that was the Guardian flight accident that happened about 5 days after the shutdown ended.
Yeah, exactly. On the 29th, big tragedy. A Guardian ambulance crew was flying from Anchorage to Cake to do a medevac. Disappeared about 20 miles west of Cake, just literally dropped off the radar. 3 people killed in the crash. But connecting this back to the Coast Guard shutdown, Air Station Sitka was unable to fly on that mission until the following morning.
So we wanted to know what happened, and Coast Alaska reporter Jacob Resnick, Boyed Coast Guard, right?
Yeah, Jacob was actually here in Sitka covering for me at the time, and he sent a Freedom of Information Act request for the mission logs, and they just confirmed that all 3 Sitka helos were down. They had to fly one over from Kodiak to do that mission at first. Air Station Commander Michael Kale said that created problems of its own.
That process ends up taking about, you know, through the evening. And first light, they're basically on the scene with a new aircrew aircraft and underway and out on sea.
So that meant it was a full 12 hours before the Coast Guard could fly on the Guardian crash. It's unlikely that it made any difference for anyone involved, but kind of a tragic merger of politics and the reality of what the Coast Guard has to do up here. But then the governor's budget was introduced in February, and some big stories emerged out of that.
Yes. When the governor's budget was introduced, it was an immediate backlash because, you know, some very valued institutions in Sitka were on the chopping block, like the Sheldon Jackson Museum, the Pioneer Home. The rates were going to be increased, and the Mount Edgecombe High School Aquatic Center also on a list of assets to sell. And here's a clip of Senator Bert Stedman, who said he wasn't going to take that lying down.
I think it's about as likely that the state is going to sell Mount Edgecombe's high school swimming pool as we are going to sell the governor's mansion with the governor in it.
Kind of a classic line from Senator Bert Stedman.
You know, we also saw big cuts to education and the University of Alaska system, but once we went through the whole veto and then override and then veto again process, some of those cuts weren't as stark as we initially anticipated they were going to be.
And some were. Public broadcasting, statewide radio and television were vetoed by the governor and have not been refunded. So
right.
We are listener-supported community radio for sure. I guess the other big monetary thing in Sitka was the hospital.
Yeah, and that was all happening here in Sitka while the budgeting process was happening at the state level. There were some really serious conversations happening about Sitka Community Hospital.
The transfer occurred on August 1st. The last big town hall happened in March. And by this time, I think people were feeling it was pretty much a done deal. About 60 people showed up to the town hall, but all the terms weren't really on the table at the time. Mm-hmm. And Nancy Yaw Davis, a local resident, pointed that out.
There's 21 parts that you're going to fill in maybe on the day that you sign the documents. Then we'll find out the real stuff.
You know, it's been an interesting year to see how some national stories have played out on the local level as well. We saw a real outpouring of energy at our local schools during the climate strike that happened in September. Here's a clip of Darby Osborne speaking at that strike.
Yes, putting pressure solely on consumers to fix this problem will not have much impact. And no, we can't save the planet by simply not using plastic straws.
I attended that strike, and she said that they had watched Greta Thunberg at the UN just make her big speech just the day before. And these kids, they were fired up.
Yeah. In Sitka, we were seeing warming temperatures in Southeast. There were communities that had to switch over to diesel from their hydroelectric power because they were affected by a very long drought. We didn't see that so directly impact us in Sitka, but we were noticing changes in our environment, like the massive algae bloom that happened back in August, the coccolithophores that made the water an aqua green. It hasn't been super common in this area of Alaska historically, but has become increasingly common because of warm temperatures.
I'm cuckoo for coccolithophores.
Say that 3 times fast.
And then just the habitat changes. We had and still have bears ambling around Sitka. We had a bear in the lake.
We had a lake bear, yes, and right in my backyard. And also in Indian River Subdivision, a lot of bear activity late into the winter. Two dogs have been killed, unfortunately, and quite a large number of local livestock. Fish and game biologist Steve Bethune says there are a couple of reasons people leave their trash out and, you know, don't maybe follow best bear practices, but also it's warmer. That means more food is available later into the winter.
Let's talk about herring, Catherine. Herring is a big thing every year, but this year herring is moved into the courts and it's going to be an ongoing story.
Yes, the Sitka Tribe of Alaska filed suit against the state in December of 2018, but that suit is going on into 2020. This year, they filed a request for an injunction against the state that would have forced the state to change their management plan of the fishery, and that was just weeks before the fishery was set to happen. But in the end, it didn't really matter because the commercial fishery didn't ever happen.
There were some other legal things going on, some big court cases, mainly in the police department. Three civil suits had been filed against the Sitka Police Department in 2018. One of them was resolved in 2019. Former Detective Ryan Silva settled for $325,000. He was the whistleblower who called out the department on its procurement of automatic weapons and claims he was harassed and demoted over the issue. Mm-hmm. So that was settled in October. The other high-profile case is former Detective Mary Ferguson. That has been scheduled for trial in March of next year. She's suing the department for sexual harassment and discrimination. Noah Shepard, a former jailer who also filed a discrimination suit, that's been scheduled for trial, but my bet is that that will probably be settled along the lines of Silva. Who knows? It's still unfolding. And finally, there was this crazy civil trial in Sitka in October about the what was it, a decoration that came down out of Harrigan Centennial Hall?
It was a cloth chandelier with metal rings that was being put up during preparation for the 2016 Alaska Day Festival. And it fell and hit a Russian dancer, Sandy Sulzbach. And Sulzbach then went on to sue the city of Sitka.
Yeah, $3.7 million was her damage claim, and I gather that there was sympathy for Sulzbach, but not to the tune of $3.7 million. And the city's legal counsel didn't pull any punches either. This is Timothy Bowman, who represented the city of Sitka in that case.
The whole yarn that this interrupted some lifelong love of dance is just not borne out by the facts. Mrs. Sulzbach did not train at the Juilliard. She is not part of the Moscow Ballet.
So a pretty harsh burn there in closing arguments.
Yeah, that trial did get pretty brutal and pretty personal, I think.
Speaking of brutal, in city politics, we had a pretty brutal thing happen, the firing of the administrator.
Yes, that was an incredibly tense meeting. It was one day after the assembly approved the sale documents for the sale of Sitka Community Hospital. The very next day was their administrator and city attorney evaluation, and it turned very quickly into a debate over firing Keith Brady. And in that meeting, it came to the vote, and it was really close. Here's a clip of that vote.
Dr. Ween?
Yes.
Mr. Knox?
No.
Mr. Mosher?
Yes.
Mayor Paxton?
No.
Ms. Nelson?
Yes.
And Mr. Bean?
No.
Motion fails.
Thank you, Aaron.
So that was Mayor Gary Paxton having to breathe a sigh of relief because that vote came down to former Assemblymember Aaron Bean's call. It was 3-3 at that point, and they gave him an unsatisfactory evaluation and said they'd revisit it in 90 days. But they didn't wait 90 days. They waited 60 days, and then it came before the assembly again. And that time, they voted 4-3 to fire City Administrator Keith Brady.
We did have one story that went out to far more people than we could ever have imagined. And unfortunately, it's not a happy story, but it's a heroic story. And that was Rascal, the dog who died defending her owner, Linda Benkin, from a bear on the Mount Verstovia Trail. And that drew somewhere between 70 and 80,000 page views on our website.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to say I've seen Linda Benkin out on the trail again. And there's another dog out there with her now who she's rescued from somewhere. So Rascal's chi is out there on the trail still.
And speaking of encounters with wildlife, I think probably one of the biggest stories this year, the passing of Richard Nelson.
This is a story I asked him about in May when I interviewed him after he had won the Rasmussen Distinguished Artist Award.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him to tell me what was one of his craziest moments out there, just himself and a microphone in the wild.
When I got sort of in between a moose and a grizzly bear in Denali National Park, and I was in the wrong place and had this gigantic bull moose running straight at me.
He was the master of the adjective, and he let you know.
So we had a special earlier this month to honor Nels and have been collecting community stories, but there's going to be a big event coming up in the spring, right, Rob?
Right, April 25th and 26th. It's going to be sort of a community celebration of Richard Nelson. If there's going to be like a wildlife cruise and things, it's going to be fun.
I want to thank you so much for your good company. I'm Richard Nelson. I'll see you next time.
Catherine, it's been a fantastic year for news in 2019. Let's hope it's another good one in 2020.
Fingers crossed.
All right. See you at work January 2nd.
See you there.
See you there.